Our next speaker was at the World Trade Center on September 11th, where he had worked for approximately 19 years as a maintenance worker at the World Trade Center and North Tower. On 9/11, Willie Rodriguez single-handedly rescued 15 people from the World Trade Center. And as he was the only person on the site with a master key to the North Tower stairwells, he bravely led firefighters up that stairwell, unlocking doors as they ascended, thereby aiding in the successful evacuation of unknown hundreds of those who survived. William Rodriguez, at great risk to his own life, re-entered the towers three times after the first North Tower impacted about 8:46 a.m., and is believed to have been the last person to exit the North Tower alive, surviving the building's collapse by diving beneath a fire truck, even after being told by his superior, "Get out of that building," in which he responded by saying, "No, I cannot leave." And after receiving medical attention at the World Trade Center site for his injuries, William Rodriguez has spent the rest of 9/11 aiding as a volunteer in the rescue efforts, and at dawn the next morning was back at Ground Zero continuing his efforts. He's become a hero. He's been highly recognized by our authorities. All the politicians know him. They've had their picture taken with him, including our president, P. Resident, that is. And folks, he is an absolute treasure to this movement and for all who seek and struggle for truth. He has spent the last several years, folks, I can't even list all the things, being part of the Hispanic Survivors Organization. I know that's not quite the right title, but he's been involved in so many aspects of the healing and the efforts to handle all the people and all the issues that needed resolution after 9/11. And he has spent the last few years traveling the world, bringing attention to the cause of 9/11 truth on a global level, throughout South America, throughout Europe, and most recently, Malaysia, in Indonesia. And this gentleman is known throughout the world. Millions upon millions of people have seen William Rodriguez telling his story and is held in the highest esteem internationally. Please welcome William Rodriguez.
All right, let me just... I'm so tired, you have no idea. Great things are happening. We're really making a change. We have been really hitting hard trying to get to the truth. We have been hitting hard trying to help people 5 years after who are dying because of the lack of attention of our federal government. You have seen the last 3 weeks, we have done countless of press conferences calling upon the health issues of the first responders and the people that cleaned up the area. People are dying. It's not only what happened on that day, but the aftermath. You have 106,000 residents on the lower Manhattan that received that deadly dust. You have 62,000 people on workers' compensation board who are not getting any kind of compensation because they do not recognize the Ground Zero syndrome. I spoke last weekend in Washington, D.C., and I had a special meeting with people from the government. And one of them, a whistleblower that everybody knows a little about, Dr. Doug Rocky, who was the person in charge of the whole depleted uranium program for the military, And on camera, he told me that when 9/11 happened, he personally called and put the whole parameters, requirements, and the weight of action to contain the area because he knew it was a disaster. It was going to be a national disaster. And then if you see the pictures of the Pentagon and the pictures of 9/11 at Ground Zero, they're very different. At the Pentagon, you have everybody with protective gear, hazmat gear. Ground Zero, you only have paper masks. And he knew, and he told directly the Christine Whitman. And they ignore him. They ignore the whole unit, and they ignore all the parameters. Now, 5 years after, I'm sad to say that all these political maneuvers that you are seeing on TV, that, okay, the governor did a great thing, but then you have the mayor saying, no, why should we pay for that? Why should we pay for that? Because you're killing us. That's why. You put us in there. You gave us that deadly dose. I mean, the mayor and I, we don't look eye to eye. Definitely not. Because from the very beginning, the families have been fighting from the very beginning with City Hall to get a decent memorial, you know this, to get a museum, to have a respectful place where the families can go and pray for the loved ones. That's sacred ground for us. She lost her daughter. She don't have any place to go and pray. 900 people from the 3,000 and so receive only fragments, and some of them receive a full body, but fragments of DNA of their loved ones. What happened with the rest? You have 13,342 fragments that have not been identified because we don't have the technology. 5 years after, we're still fighting. We're still fighting because we don't know exactly what happened. Because all the information have been kept away from us. From the early beginning, we went to Congress. I was one of the five persons that went to Congress to ask for a 9/11 commission to be created. And the president said, we don't need a commission. We don't need an investigation. We know who did it. Now, if they kill your daughter, they kill your father or your brother, don't you want to know exactly what happened? Yes, you do. And it's been the families from the very beginning who has been the force, the avant-garde force, to get all this stuff that you have seen displayed. Example, the recordings. Remember, they wanted to have the recordings sealed for 25 years. We fought back because they said we don't have the family to have the grieving process of listening to their loved ones claiming for help. No, we want to know. We need to know what happened. And once they got released, we find out the level of disorientation and the lack of organization that we had on that day. Because number one, the radios did not work for the fire department. Practically Motorola killing hundreds of firefighters. While we had the policeman going into building two and then getting a radio call to abandon the building, the firemen were going into the other building, never getting that reception. Should have worked for both of them. We have H channel and B channel, correct? Should have been, but it didn't happen. We sued Motorola. We got $3 million to upgrade the radio system. They didn't work again. Second time, after 9/11, they failed. But anyway, we're not here to talk about that. Anyway, 9/11 is right here. I was a magician for 30 years, and a lot of people don't know that. And I see 9/11 as a big illusion. Big illusion. Is David Copperfield making the statue of, oh, I'm sorry. David Copperfield making the Statue of Liberty disappear. Now to the serious thing. My name is William Rodriguez. I work in the building for 20 years, 20 years of my life. From those 20 years, the first 10 years, and that will make you understand a little bit the dynamics of everything that I have been doing, because a lot of people still don't know my life before 9/11, and it's very surprising to a lot of people when I tell this. The first 10 years at the World Trade Center, on the South Tower, we have the governor's office, which was Governor Cuomo and then Governor Pataki's office. Well, the first 10 years, I worked cleaning the office of the Governor Cuomo. And there is what I learned, how to set up a press conference, because I was the one cleaning after everybody. I was the one that had to put the water on the podium for the governor. And by osmosis, I learned the whole process of how to deal with politicians and how you set up a legislation. And that's the legislations that you, after that, saw that were approved by our initiative. And people say, well, how come this guy come from being a janitor to writing legislation and getting them approved? And everybody's like, that doesn't make any sense. Tells you a lot about our politics. Same kind of garbage, same garbage. Anyway, now I'm gonna tell you what happened on that day. How many people heard me talk about 9/11 before? Everybody. Okay, so then what I will do, I will give you an update of what happened after that. How's that? The whole thing. Okay, the whole update. After surviving under the rubble and becoming recognized as a national hero by several countries, which I still don't believe, I was just trying to get to my friends on top of the windows of the world, the restaurant, and they all died. I was just trying to get to them. My level of compassion was just to save them. And that's what I kept fighting and going back and forth and trying to make sense of what was going on. You know that while I was on the basement of the North Tower at 8:46, while I was talking to a supervisor, and now I have something good for you. Yesterday, I received for the first time the transcripts of my radio communication with the World Trade Center Port Authority. And wouldn't you be surprised, because the supervisor that was with me that I told you about that was twice my size, Anthony Saltalamacchia, is there. They're calling for him, Anthony, where are you, 2225, Anthony, and he said, there's an explosion in the basement. Where are you? B1. Then Willie Rodriguez, where are you? Remember the story about the people that were stuck in the elevator on the basement and they were gonna drown? I cried yesterday a lot when I read that, because first time I see this in paper, I'm saying I cannot come out because I have two people stuck in an elevator, and they need help, I need an ambulance. Then they call me minutes later, and that's when I'm up the stairwells, and they're calling me again, and I said, I'm on the 27th floor, and there's a person in a wheelchair, and I need an ambulance for him as well. And they're telling me, Willie Rodriguez abandoned the building. Meet us by 125 Broadway. And I say, I can't. I'm helping the fire department and the police department. And that's the moment when I shut off the radio. And just to have that in black and white, because, you know, it's still a lot of people out there, out of the movement, that still question my story. Story that has been validated over and over and over and over. And for me to have received this really makes a change. Really does. Because it's coming from the Port Authority own records. Well, there was an explosion, and I'm still sticking by it, as all those 15 people that I saved from the basement, those 22 firemen that came out and said we heard explosions as we went up, and they never, the 9/11 Commission never investigated one single person that claimed that. Not even one. Now, 2 days ago, I go on the top news magazine program, which is great, 31 million viewers in Univision, Spanish network. Goes all over the nation and all over Latin America. Wonderful. Again, they show me, they put me in there, they didn't cut me off like they do here. in the American mainstream media. They presented me with the respect and the dignity that I deserve for what I'm doing, for protecting the rights of the victims and survivors. And they went, and listen to this, this is a first. They have the answers to my allegations, guess from who? They got the director of the Pentagon on camera. They have the director of NORAD on camera. Now, this is the first time I see them anywhere. Now, why would they do it on the Latino press? Because they think that it will never cross over. Why they didn't do this on the American mainstream press? I never seen, have you seen them?
No.
Have you ever seen them?
No.
Well, it was a big hit, at least for 31 million people. And they never answered my questions. I'm gonna make this available to all the 9/11 Truth Movement websites. So you can spread it. And the good thing is that on 9/11, I will be able to reach 500 million viewers around the world. And that's huge. That is huge. We did interviews for Korea, three television stations from Korea, Russia, Germany, Malaysia, Indonesia, Iran, UK, Australia, Chile, Argentina, Venezuela, Mexico, Puerto Rico, and I keep going and going and going, and just combine viewership, 500 million people will get to hear what we have to say. So in one single day, I think everything that I have done the whole year for you guys will come finally home to see these people. And thank you, thank you. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Why do we do this? Now, why do we really do this? Because the memory of our loved ones, of the people that we lost, because they deserve the truth. They deserve to know. They deserve the families to have some closures. Dana, do you have any closure? None whatsoever. 5 years after, how do you feel? Tired. Tired. But I don't feel tired, because I survived for a miracle. And the only way I can glorify to be alive and to say thank you to God for being here is just fighting to get to the truth, and I will continue. Even though I have been menaced, I've been threatened, I've been told to shut up by high levels of government. It's hard to be careful. It's very hard. It's very hard. Being careful is to be quiet. Be careful is to be part of the system. Be careful is to say, okay, I'll shut up. I can't. I can't. Anyway, to make it short, I went to Venezuela. I went with American Free Press and Jimmy Walter. When I was working with Jimmy Walter, you know, I left the organization, for those of you that don't know. But we did great work over there. Now, just to show you the difference between Venezuela and United States, they knew everything about 9/11. They were prepared. I have 5 minutes. They were prepared. While I was there, an FBI agent went to Isla Margarita, Margarita Island, outside Caracas, where we were staying. And they asked the wrong hotel for the list of the guests. Now, the reason we went to that hotel every day was because our hotel wasn't finished. So they didn't have that morning breakfast. So we have to go and eat breakfast every day on the other place. So the lady told us, you know, you left and the FBI was here. They showed us the ID and everything. But we told them, you have no jurisdiction. I went on TV and I said that on TV. And the following day, I got a call from the palace. Nicolas Maduro, the president of the National Assembly, wanted to have a meeting with me. The president of the National Assembly. I went over there and he said, Mr. Rodriguez, We're very worried about you. We have checked you out. They have their own intelligence. And we believe what you're saying. But even though you are considered an icon of the government of the United States because of the recognitions that you have received, we believe that they could do an attempt against your life, and they will blame the Venezuelan government. And they will say it was us. So we're going to give you protection. And they gave me 5 bodyguards, round the clock for a month. And they validated the whole thing by taking me into the palace for 5 days. I did not have the meeting with Chavez, because it's a lot of internet things. I did not have the meeting with Chavez, because Chavez was in Chile, but for President Bachelet, oath of office. But he knew that I was there. National Assembly agreed on working with me to have an international investigation. And last week, I spoke again with Venezuela. We're still going for it. I'm putting everything together. And now the president of the National Assembly now is the number 2 in power, because Chavez just made him chancellor of foreign relations. So we are closer to the top to get this going, which is good. Si se puede. Now Malaysia, we went to Malaysia, and Malaysia was historical. This is an Islamic country, and I was scared, because it was the first time a survivor of 9/11 go to an Islamic country to talk about 9/11. And I said, these people is gonna roast me alive there. Ladies and gentlemen, I was treated with so much love, so much attention, so much respect, that I was ashamed of how I was treated here. Ashamed. Because over there, and they were even apologetic all the time, said, we are so sorry that this happened, or we are sorry that, you know, they have mixed Islam with this. I said, well, you know, we don't hate you. We don't hate you either. We don't hate you. We don't hate you either. But we hate your government. Now, let's understand one thing very fast. I was treated very well. 10 days on a row, we were on primetime TV. We opened the news for 2 minutes every single night. I have meetings with the prime minister, with the foreign prime minister, with the minister of foreign relations, with the minister of Penang, with the minister, a special envoy of Indonesia. So we have talked everywhere in the world at a great expense, last time you saw me was the day before I was getting married. Do you remember that? How many people remember that? Well, I got married. That's my wife on the top over there. Say hi. Say hi. There you go. But imagine, I have to travel all the time. Honeymooners, and I'm traveling outside the country, and she has to stay, so it's really difficult, especially for me. Now, for closing, we need your help. We need your help, because even though I was working with Jimmy before, I left because of the differences of he's taking the belief that there was no planes hitting the building, of the blue screen technology. I think Nico is around here. I do not agree with that. I have many family members that are very offended by it, and many eyewitnesses that I have interviewed directly that do not agree with that. And you know, it's just goes against what I've been doing, and it's very divisive, and it's very hurtful to the movement. So I'm trying to unite everybody. And I cannot compromise, even though his help was good. We spent $20,000 in Venezuela, $15,000 in Malaysia. So now what I'm doing, I'm going on my own. I'm doing it on my own, as I have done everywhere before meeting Jimmy or any other people in the movement. I have been used and abused. You know, they have put me here and there, and I never charged for anything. And I got to the point that I have to charge for everything to survive. And so I need your help to actually go back and continue reaching these people, reaching these 500 more million that we have to reach. And I will be giving some DVDs and whatever you can donate, you know, we'll sell them usually for $15, but whatever you can donate is welcome for continuing this fight. And I have invitations for Germany, for Japan on October 7th, to organize everybody and have press conferences and meet with the top politicians over there. And Australia, Indonesia again, and the main thing, go back to Venezuela and start this investigation. So I need your help, I hope you do that, and God bless you, we'll continue the fight, and we'll get to the truth. Count on it. And whoever wants to touch or take a picture, I still have the master key that has been designated for the museum. And before it goes into the museum, whoever wants to take a picture with it is welcome. Please do. Thank you.